Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, May 4th, Pope Francis receives the Swiss Guard's new recruits ahead of the traditional swearing-in ceremony on May 6th. The Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations calls for concrete action to prevent future terrorist attacks. And Bulgaria and North Macedonia prepare to welcome Pope Francis, who begins his 29th apostolic journey outside of Italy tomorrow. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Ahead of the traditional May 6th Swiss Guard swearing-in ceremony in the courtyard of the Apostolic Palace, Pope Francis received in audience 23 new recruits, telling them on Saturday to be witnesses and apostles of personal and community renewal. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
Greeting the 23 new Swiss Guard recruits and their families on Saturday, ahead of their swearing-in ceremony in the courtyard of the Apostolic Palace on Monday, the Pope expressed the hope that their service in the Vatican and their time spent in Rome would bring those they encounter a word of comfort and a gesture of brotherhood, so that they may become convincing witnesses of the risen Christ, alive and present in every age. In this way, he continued, you will live your Christian vocation in a fruitful way, rooted in baptism, the origin of faith.
Vivrete così in maniera feconda la vostra vocazione cristiana radicata nel battesimo, origine della fede.
Pope Francis said that during their stay in Rome, they were called to bear witness to their faith with joy, so that the many people they met, especially at entrances to Vatican City, would be impressed by the spirit with which they performed their duties. During his address, the pontiff asked each one of the new recruits to make sure that everyone they encountered in their daily duties would also discover through them the love of God for every person.
Questa prima missione è la di ogni cristiano.
This is the first mission of every Christian, he said. Everyone in the service of the Holy See, underlined the Pope, needed to be witnesses and apostles of personal and community renewal. Pope Francis noted that their time as Swiss Guards would give them the opportunity to build on their ethical and spiritual principles. This learning curve, the Pope pointed out, would help you to live in society with the right attitude, recognizing cultural, religious and social diversity as human wealth and not as a threat. He added, this is particularly important in a world that is experiencing, as never before, huge movement of peoples and people in search of security and a dignified life. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
In world news, a commemorative event for the victims of the Easter Sunday terrorist attacks in Sri Lanka was held at the United Nations in New York on Friday. Among several speakers who addressed the gathering was the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN in New York, Archbishop Bernardito Auza. While reiterating the Holy See's sincerest condolences to Sri Lankans for the April 21st suicide bomb attacks, Archbishop Auza said the world needs to go beyond mere words of condemnation. Robin Gomes has that story.
But such words, however sincere, are not enough. Actions are required to attack the plague at its roots.
Archbishop Bernardita Auza denounced Easter Sunday suicide bomb attacks on three churches and four hotels in the island nation and assured prayers for the victims and their families. More than 250 people were killed, including foreigners, and over 500 were injured. The Filipino Archbishop reiterated Pope Francis' words of profound human and spiritual closeness to the people of Sri Lanka, as well as the assurance of his continued prayers for those who perished, those who survived the trauma, and all those who are grieving. Archbishop Auza pointed out that what happened in Sri Lanka is a deliberate attack against Christians.
To acknowledge the anti-Christian nature of the attacks would do justice to the victims, survivors, and their families. Anti-Semitic, anti-Muslim, anti-Christian, and all the other anti-religious hatred and attacks must be treated by the same standard. The recent resolution adopted April 2 by the General Assembly on combating terrorism and other acts of violence based on religion or belief got it right when it condemned all terrorist attacks against places of worship that are motivated by religious hatred, including Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and Christianophobia.
Archbishop Auza pointed out that terrorist attacks are always and everywhere deplorable, but attacks on religious believers at worship are the most shameful and cowardly attack against peace imaginable. That's what happened in Sri Lanka, he said, and the whole world justly mourns. Nearly 2 weeks after the terror attacks, Sri Lanka is still living in fear of further attacks. Sunday masses and services in Catholic churches are being cancelled for a second week in Sri Lanka's capital after the government warned of more possible attacks by the same Islamic State-linked group that carried out the Easter suicide bombings. Last week, all of Sri Lanka's Catholic churches were closed. The faithful followed a mass and homily on television celebrated by Cardinal Malcolm Ranjit, the Archbishop of Colombo. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of Sri Lanka has criticized the government for failing to act after security forces are said to have received warnings ahead of Easter Sunday's attacks. I'm Robin Gomes.
The India Meteorological Department said the extremely severe cyclone in the Bay of Bengal hit the coastal state of Odisha in India around 8 a.m., affecting weather across the Asian subcontinent. Dust storms were forecast in the desert state of Rajasthan, bordering Pakistan, heat waves in the coastal state of Maharashtra on the Arabian Sea, heavy rain in the northeastern states bordering China, and snowfall in the Himalayas. Sean Patrick Lovett has more on efforts to protect the local populations.
Around 1.2 million people have been evacuated from low-lying areas of the state of Odisha and moved to nearly 4,000 shelters. Indian officials have put Navy, Air Force, Army and Coast Guard on high alert. Meanwhile, special relief commissioners say the evacuation effort is unprecedented in India. By Friday afternoon, Cyclone Fani had weakened to a very severe storm as it hovered over coastal Odisha and was forecast to move north-northeast toward the Indian state of West Bengal. The National Disaster Response Force has dispatched 54 rescue and relief teams of doctors, engineers and deep-sea divers to flood-prone areas along the coast and as far afield as the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. Up to 4 inches of rain were expected in much of Sri Lanka. On India's cyclone scale, Fani is the second most severe, equivalent to a Category 3 hurricane. Because Fani spent 10 days gathering strength over the sea, it delivered a huge blow when it made landfall. Authorities in neighboring Bangladesh have evacuated about 400,000 people, taking them to cyclone shelters, as the weather office forecasts the storm will cross the country's southwestern coastal region by midnight. In the capital of Dhaka, members of the Navy and Coast Guard, as well as police and volunteers, have been working around the clock to help with evacuations and stocking emergency supplies of dry food and medicine. Meanwhile, aid agencies have warned that more than 1 million Rohingya from Myanmar living in refugee camps near the coastal district of Cox's Bazar are now also at risk.
And in other world news, anti-government protests are taking place in France for the 25th straight week, including a demonstration at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport, where several people denounced privatization plans. The Yellow Vest movement participated Wednesday in the annual May Day parade organized by labor unions. The movement sprang up in mid-November to oppose policies of President Emmanuel Macron, seen as favoring the rich. And briefly, in other news from around the world, Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip fired at least 100 rockets into southern Israel on Saturday, according to Israeli military sources, triggering retaliatory airstrikes and tank fire against militant targets. Syrian government forces and their Russian allies pounded the rubble-held northwest of the country with fresh airstrikes on Saturday. At least 18 civilians were killed in 2 related attacks this week in central Mali. That's according to the United Nations MINUSMA peacekeeping mission. And Japan's child population has declined for the 38th year in a row and is now at a record low, according to a government report on Saturday. Pope Francis is traveling to North Macedonia on Tuesday for the second leg of his 29th apostolic journey abroad. Ahead of his departure, the Pope sent his greetings to the people of North Macedonia, saying he comes to sow the seeds of a culture of encounter and solidarity. Devin Watkins tells us more.
Pope Francis will visit the Balkan nation of North Macedonia on Tuesday on the second leg of his 29th apostolic journey abroad. In a video message sent on Saturday, the Pope expressed his joy and feelings of affection for the people and church in North Macedonia. The Holy Father said he hopes to foster a culture of encounter and solidarity in the country.
Io verrò in mezzo a voi a seminare questi semi.
I will come among you to sow these seeds, he said, sure in the knowledge that yours is good soil and that it will be able to welcome them and bear fruit. North Macedonia's particular beauty, said Pope Francis, comes from its tapestry of cultures and ethnic and religious affiliations.
Certo, la convivenza non è sempre facile, lo sappiamo.
Living together is not always easy, we know that, he said, but it's worth struggling toward because the most beautiful mosaics are the ones that are richest in colors. Pope Francis entrusted his one-day visit to North Macedonia to St. Teresa of Calcutta, who was born and raised in Skopje.
È diventata con la grazia di Dio una coraggiosa missionaria della carità di Cristo nel mondo.
Through the grace of God, he said, she became a courageous missionary of Christ's charity in the world, giving comfort and dignity to the poorest of the poor. Finally, the Pope invited the people of North Macedonia to prepare for his arrival through prayer so that his time there might bear fruits of peace.
Dio vi benedica.
God bless you, he concluded. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Holy Father begins his apostolic journey tomorrow in Sofia in Bulgaria. Vatican News will have live coverage of the various events during the Pope's visit, beginning with the meeting with civil authorities in Bulgaria. You can listen to live coverage with English commentary of that event beginning at 10:30 Rome time on Saturday. And finally, this Saturday afternoon, the Holy See's press office said the Pope has called the leaders of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church to Rome as a sign of his closeness to the community and his efforts to build peace in the troubled nation. Pope Francis is once more reaching out to the troubled spots of the world in his effort to bring about peace and harmony. This time, on the eve of his visit to Bulgaria and North Macedonia, the Holy Father is turning his attention to Ukraine. In his New Year address to the diplomatic corps in January, Pope Francis mentioned the humanitarian initiative in Ukraine on behalf of those suffering, particularly in the eastern areas of the country. The Holy See Press Office released a statement today saying the Pope has invited the leaders of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church for the meeting in the Vatican on the 5th and 6th of July. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And on all those sources, you can follow the Pope's visit to Bulgaria and North Macedonia. Many thanks to our sound engineers and producers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.